Then how did you learn to disguise yourselves? Olivia asked in astonishment. You used all three phases of VFD disguise training. Veiled facial disguises. With your fake scars, various finery disguises. With the clothing you wore. And voice fakery disguises. With the different voices you used. Now that I think of it, you're even using disguises that look like things in my disguise kit. Olivia stood up and walked over to the trunk that sat in the corner. Taking a key out of her pocket, she unlocked it and began to go through its contents. The siblings watched as she lifted an assortment of things out of the trunk, all of which the children recognized. First, she removed a wig that looked like the one Count Olaf had used when he was pretending to be a woman named Shirley, and then a fake wooden leg he had used as part of his ship captain disguise. She removed a pair of pots that Olaf's bald associate had used when the children were living in Poultryville, and a motorcycle helmet that looked identical to the one Esme's squalor had used to disguise herself as a police officer. Finally, Olivia held up a shirt with fancy ruffles all over it, exactly like the one that lay at the Baudelaires' feet. "You see," she said, "this is the same shirt as the one you two were wearing." "But we got ours from Count Olaf's trunk," Violet said. "That makes sense," Olivia replied. "All volunteers have the same disguise kit. There are people using these disguises all over the world, trying to bring Count Olaf to justice."
"What?"
Sunny asked. "I'm confused, too," Klaus said. "We're all confused, Olivia. What is VFD? Sometimes it seems like they're good people, and sometimes it seems like they're bad people." "It's not as simple as all that," Olivia said sadly. She took a surgical mask out of the trunk and held it in her hand. "The items in the disguise kit are just things, Baudelaires. You can use these things to help people, or to harm them, and many people use them to do both. Sometimes it's hard to know which disguise to use, or what to do once you've put one on."
"I don't understand," Violet said.
"Some people are like those lions Olaf brought here," Olivia said. "They start out being good people, but before they know it, they've become something else. Those lions used to be noble creatures. A friend of mine trained them to smell smoke, which was very helpful in our work. But now Count Olaf is denying them food and hitting them with his whip, and tomorrow afternoon they'll probably devour one of the freaks. The world is a harum-scarum place."
"Harum?"
Sunny asked. "It's complicated and confusing," Olivia explained. "They say that long ago it was simple and quiet, but that might be a legend. There was a schism in VFD, a great big fight between many of the members, and since then it's been hard for me to know what to do. I never thought I'd be the sort of person who helps villains, but now I do. Haven't you ever found yourself doing something you never thought you'd do?"
"I guess so,"
Klaus said, and turned to his sisters. "Remember when we stole those keys from Hal at the Library of Records? I never thought I'd be a thief."
"Flynn,"
Sunny said, which meant something like, "And I never thought I would become a violent person, but I engaged in a sword fight with Dr. Orwell." "We've all done things we never thought we'd do," Violet said, "but we always had a good reason." "Everybody thinks they have a good reason," Olivia said. "Count Olaf thinks getting a fortune is a good reason to slaughter you. Esme Squalor thinks being Olaf's girlfriend is a good reason to join his troop. And when I told Count Olaf where to find you, I had a good reason, because my motto is, give people what they want."
"Dubious,"
Sunny said.